You're listening to the Outspoken Bible,
a podcast from Bible 2020.
I'm Fiona Stewart. I'm here on the Outspoken Bible podcast, and I'm here with Alistair Wallace. Alistair, we don't often get to hear you on the Outspoken Bible, but you are our producer. Hi.
Hello. You might hear my breathing sometimes, but I try and edit that out.
We don't like to comment on that, really. We don't want a heavy breather on the end of the podcast. So tell me, what have you been up to? Have you been enjoying this new role that you have?
I have been. I've been really enjoying sitting in the room with you, Jen, and Neil over the last few weeks, well, months, really, just as you go through Bible 2020 and discuss how it's changing the way you look at the Bible and how it's changing you.
I think it's great that you managed to do it without contributing in. You do very well at sitting, listening. And
I want to. I have been enjoying it and wanting to input, which I hope is what other people are doing as they're listening to the podcast.
Yeah, that's always a sign of something, isn't it? People want to kind of chip in on something. I've been out and about, actually, speaking of chipping in, because I'm kind of interested in getting some other people's views and opinions on how they're either using the app or how they think about the Bible.
Well, that's right. I'd be getting emails from you saying that you have found someone else to talk to about the Bible, either people that you know and want to catch up with or people that you wish you knew. Is that?
Yeah, I guess so. It's a good excuse. If you want to make a new friend and you've got somebody in mind, this is going to make me sound a little bit odd, but it's a good excuse to sort of say, can I come and interview you? And do you know what I found quite interesting is people are really enthusiastic.
That's it.
Really?
Would
keen.
You like to go for a coffee? I do a podcast. So tell us. So this is a kind of on the side to the Outspoken Bible. The Outspoken Bible, the conversations with the three of you is still taking place, but we're wanting to kind of broaden that conversation, aren't we?
I think very much as the year goes on and people are engaging with the app, I'm keen to know how they're doing that, what they're enjoying about it, what they're maybe finding tricky about it. And I suppose in the same way that the Outspoken Bible, the mainstream podcast does, I want to delve a little bit deeper behind just the verses that people are exploring through the app.
Well, that's it. If you look at all the different people who are using the app, you hear the verses and you understand there's a unity behind that, but there's a story behind why anyone would even get to that stage of sharing the Bible, and that's what you've been doing.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm just interested in speaking to people whose roles, whose jobs, whose passions and interests connect with particular areas, particular themes that we've been exploring through the app. So the first person I spoke to most recently was Laura Young.
Less Waste Laura.
Less Waste Laura. Have you met Laura?
I have met Laura, yes.
She is a force of nature.
Yes.
I love her.
I had to hide my once-used plastic water bottle as I spoke to her.
Yeah. I mean, she just makes me feel guilty all the time. About
I'm sure that's not what she's
It's
intended.
Not what she's setting out to do. And she's so lovely and so gracious about the whole thing. Actually, all joking aside, she does kind of make me up my game in terms of my environmental concerns. So she is an influencer. She has a blog. She has an Instagram following. And she is trying to encourage people to use less waste. The clue is in the name.
Excellent. So shall we tee it up?
Yeah, let's do it. This is Less Waste Laura.
I'm delighted that I'm joined by Laura Young. Now, Laura, I stumbled over your name when I first said it because I can't get it out of my head. I can't help calling you Less Waste Laura.
Less Waste Laura is my full and preferred title.
I like
Thank
that.
You.
I like that. Tell us a little bit about what that is, who that is.
It's an online platform that I use to advocate for living sustainably, you know, mainly on Instagram. I just chat about my tips and tricks, living this way, swapping out plastic, changing my diet, no fast fashion, all these good things.
Brilliant.
And yeah, it's been blog kind of for 2 years now. It was a New Year's Day resolution in Ely, seeing plastic and thinking, I just need to change. I need to make a difference with my life. This, you know, our world is a creation. You know, it's from our creator. God, we should look after it. And yeah, it all started from there.
And it's got a bit crazy, really, hasn't it?
It has. It's spiraled in a good way. And, you know, I thought nobody would be interested. And now thousands of people are interested. And yeah, it's been really amazing.
And you did, last year you did a TED Talk. Tell us your shtick at that, because I thought that was brilliant what you chose to do.
Yeah, so it was all about, I thought, let's go simple, we'll hit plastic. How to reduce plastic, why it's important. I thought, I want people to know that even one family making one swap makes a difference, because people don't think it does. I thought, what's one thing people all use? Milk, right? Most people drink it, and most of it comes in plastic. So what would it look like to show people, even just switching one little thing makes a difference? So I thought, I'm going to drag on a family of 4's years worth of milk in plastic bottles.
I want you to picture this. The average family of 4's yearly consumption of milk. Got it? Actually, don't picture it. Here it is.
So this took 6 volunteers.
It was a lot of bottles.
A lot of bottles to drag on this mountain. Right, and I'm quite short, but this thing towered the stage. And there was a whole stage full of plastic. And I said, now, that's a year's worth of milk.
To your doorstep.
And then I pulled out of my back pocket a little tinfoil bottle and said...
On these glass bottles, the only form of waste is a small foil cap. And once you get enough of them, you can scrumple them into a ball and recycle them, just like any other item. So instead of all of this waste, all you would produce is this.
And it was a really vivid sort of, here's a little ball about the size of a tennis ball that I've had in my back pocket for 12 minutes and you've not noticed, versus this mountain of plastic. Mm-hmm. And you could see people sort of with blank, kind of gasped faces and smartphones all out taking photos.
Yeah,
thinking, wow.
So that's really, really good way of kind of capturing people's attention. Yeah. And you kind of hit a wave of this that's going on globally, actually, as we realise that the climate crisis is reaching really quite a kind of fervor point. So it feels really, I suppose, for such a time as this, that you're doing this. You are a Christian.
I am indeed.
You grew up in church and so on. Has that influenced your view on all of this stuff?
I think it has. I studied geography and environmental science. I knew all about the world, climate change before it was cool or hot. But I never really joined it to my faith until I went to actually a Tear Fund event and learned about, well, actually, like, this is a creation, and it's not just about creating care, it's about justice and environmental justice and helping people across the world. And so I would say that's when my academic studies linked with my passion for the environment. But one of the things that being a Christian, having faith, learning about it through the Bible impacts on this movement to me is, if you were to look at the climate crisis, even the name, it's a really fear-filled, anger-filled movement. But as a Christian, I can see hope through that.
Yeah.
And I can see hope for our planet, our creation. And I think it really brings a positive aspect to it. And actually, in a world where there's uncertainty and, you know, it doesn't feel like anything's happening, there's also prayer. Mm-hmm. So I feel my faith has brought a really positive aspect into what is a crisis.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That really ties in with what we've been talking about on the Outspoken Bible. Because we chatted quite a bit when we were reading through creation stories and thinking about God as creator. Just that whole thing, that actually what makes us distinctive from the kind of the real panic that I think a lot of people are facing and the despair is actually we do have hope. One of the things I'm loving at the moment is you're also doing Bible 2020.
I am. I love it.
I particularly enjoy looking out each day to see what you and your mum and dad, so there's a trio of youngs, often posting together.
Yeah, so it's become a bit of a competition, but it's a great accountability thing. And we love to be creative with how we do it. It's been a really great family thing to do. And there is also something really nice of popping on and seeing, oh, there's my mum and dad doing it as well. And also seeing loads of familiar faces thinking, wow, I love this community.
Yeah.
Even if people I've never met and are clearly from New Zealand or somewhere different.
Clearly singing.
Yes.
Now, my favourite one was when the three of you did it and you did the kind of Inception thing.
Yeah, so it's not often we've all not done it by the same time in the day. So we're sitting around having dinner. We're like, right, wouldn't it be cool if we each did it at the same time with each of us in it? So we sort of did this awkward triangle with selfies. I had to position my mum's because she couldn't really see it. And we're sort of in each other's. And then we said, 3, 2, 1, go. And we all said it at the same time. And it was great.
Brilliant. So, quick fire round, and then I'm going to ask you some good questions. Three words that come to mind when I say Bible.
Long. Book. Life.
Lovely. These are good short words as well.
I don't do long words.
12 letters, that's excellent. What does your first Bible look like?
So my first Bible, which I still have and still use in my current job, is a International Children's Bible, pink and sparkly. But then I've done that thing where clearly in a boring, you know, sermon, I've drawn on it. So I've sort of drawn into the indents, but it's pink and sparkly and completely girly, which I'm not. But there we go.
There you go. It's good that you've still held on to that, because I keep speaking to people who've basically lost.
Yeah. And all, you know what? I love reading it, because you go to the International Children's Bible, it's there, clear as day, easy to read, and just sometimes that's what you need.
Yeah.
You need simplicity.
What is your favourite book of the Bible?
I think this one's so difficult, because I would now say Genesis, because everything, I get blown away by the creation story. And I feel like you read it in Sunday school and you tick it, you're like, I have done Genesis for life, I'll come back to that, you know, when I've got kids, or when I've somebody else has kids, or my grand. But no, I've just been in love with Genesis over the past couple of years and still just get blown away by it. And actually, when it featured in the last podcast, even hearing it from space, you think, that will never get old.
It's amazing, wasn't it? Favourite place to read the Bible?
I think anywhere outside. I get so distracted. And anywhere with a little bit of natural beauty and calm. And I need the wind to be noisy, so I'm not looking at, oh, there's a car gone past, or oh, a TV's on something. But just being alone outside and just listening to the wind blow, and yeah.
Amazing. Fantastic. And how often would you read the Bible?
Recently, it's been every day. You know, I work with a Christian organisation. I'm delving into the Bible every morning in our devotions or writing a talk. Now, every day with Bible 2020 on a Sunday. So now it's more often every single day. But I think I definitely went through a time where I really struggled. I felt like, where do you start? You know, I heard these stories of people just opening it and getting something that doesn't work for me. But actually now it's, you know, daily doses of small little bits and, yeah, more targeted reading as well, not trying to be random.
Yeah, I think we don't talk about it enough, actually, because I think you can carry a kind of sense of guilt, or I should be doing this, but I don't really know how. And we're all a bit unspoken about that. Maybe we should speak that out.
Yeah,
just talk about it. So delving into slightly deeper questions, thinking, I guess, about climate justice, you've already talked about, environmental concern. If you were speaking to somebody who really never made those connections, so with faith, with Bible, and with environmental climate issues, how would you help them connect those things?
So I think there's two places in the Bible to go to. One is Genesis, and you just need to get that little tiny thing that's gone wrong in the church right. And that is, we as people and creation, we're the same, right? We were created in the same block. We were made from the same things. God created us at the same time. And sometimes it feels like us in creation, not us with creation or and creation, or we are part of creation. So I think as soon as you make that link between actually we are all one with creation and read that we are to be stewards of it, you start to look at it differently. But when you think about the climate crisis, I always think of people. And actually, it's not about ice caps melting and trees burning. It's also about people. And I remember I was listening to a talk at work, and it was about how does God want us to respond to any injustice, regardless of what that is. And we were going through Moses and the burning bush. And there's so much in that that you can relate to the climate crisis. You know, are we actually noticing that maybe literally, you know, something's burning?
Yeah.
But are we noticing that? Are we hearing God's voice? God called Moses to go now, act now, do it now, not make a 10-year plan. God also said, don't go and gather people, get a few groups together and do a workshop. It was go to Pharaoh, go to the problem. And God was crying out saying, you know, I see my people suffering and it's at the hand of the Egyptians, that let's fix this. And so I think with climate justice, it's the same. It's actually, we need to act now. We need to go to the root of the problem. And God cares about this. He sees suffering and wants to use us. So it's also just saying climate change, climate crisis, environmental stuff, it's an injustice.
Yeah.
And we need to sort it like Moses did with the Egyptians.
Let me ask you about how you're putting that into practice in the workplace environment. So you talked about studying and then the kind of explosion of less-based Laura. But you're now working with Tier Fund. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what that looks like?
Yeah, so Tier Fund, obviously, for those who don't know, is an international development charity. We're in 50 countries across the world. And we do sort of sustainable development, humanitarian aid, but we do campaigning and advocacy. So we've done a whole big series on plastic, the issue of plastic pollution. And now we're looking towards the climate crisis, COP, Conference of the Parties, it's coming to Glasgow. And in the workplace, it's been really interesting because we do this thing about discipleship and how discipleship's not just evangelism, or it's not just praying, but actually it's a whole lifestyle response to what you hear in the Bible. And working for Tearfund now is amazing because it's linking up the way I live with actually a form of worship, and then also being able to read the Bible and see it in there and use it throughout the scriptures.
Yeah.
And so I think it's been an amazing experience. But there's been times in Tearfund now that, so myself and Graham, who's the head of Tearfund Scotland at the minute, we went and did this talk, and he kind of delved into the theology behind creation care and the injustice that the environmental crisis has. And he did this amazing session. I learned so much from it, and it was to these sort of trainee people who are going to be theologians. And then he sort of said, right, and now Laura's coming along to tell us what we actually do in our lives. And actually it was a great mix between the two of us, because I got to say, now that we've heard that, let's talk about it. How do we actually do that in our lives? What are the things that you can go away tomorrow and do in your house to help with the environmental crisis? But also you now know how that helps people in poverty, and we now know how that's a form of worship. So it's been really great to sort of merge these two even more together.
That's brilliant. And that's really interesting to me, because I think when we've approached Bible 2020, this has been a sense of, you know, it's a little thing each day, but what we're trying to do with podcasts, with some of the other resources, to say actually this is applicable to the here and now, and it's the small steps actually. So it's whether it's the small step of reading out loud, or it's the small step of saying actually I need to put that to practice.
Yeah.
Either my creation care, or how I am with my neighbours, kindness, whatever it is that comes out. So that's really interesting that that's also what you're saying.
One of the kind of examples of what you've just said is, so my family, we've been doing the Bible 2020 and started on January 1st. And what we also started on January 1st was Vegan January.
Okay.
And so Veganuary. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because we were doing it for the environmental reasons, trying to be more sustainable. And at the same time as changing our diets, cutting out meat and dairy and all the rest of it, we were doing Bible 2020. And Bible 2020 was focusing on creation and God. And so it suddenly brought a whole new dimension to this. We weren't just doing this to be more sustainable and to look after our planet, but at the same time we got a daily reminder of how beautiful our world is and how it's our responsibility in God's creation. And I wrote an article for Arosha, which is another kind of environmental thing, and they asked, oh, could you write an article about how Veganuary's gone? And they wanted also my mum and dad to do a wee section. And I asked them, hey guys, can you write a little thing for Arosha? We're going to be in their newsletter. They want to know how Veganuary's gone. And in it, my mum said, well, actually, it's gone really well because Bible 2020 has been something that's been helping her along the way. And actually, I suddenly went, that's right. It's been in our minds because of that. And these things all link together and really help you notice.
I think that's great, isn't it? Because so often different, particularly if you're you know, working with a particular Christian charity, we're all kind of doing our own thing and playing off that. But isn't it lovely when there's that sort of interplay happens?
Absolutely.
Things come together. I'm so glad it's been helpful to the whole young family.
The whole clan.
So that's less waste, Laura. Less waste, Mama.
Oh, my dad's
got a handle.
Yeah. So, well, my dad's handle is like Keith G. Young, right? But if you go into his thing is hashtag back garden squirrel.
Oh, I like that.
I'll let you go and explore that in your own time.
Back garden squirrel. Heard of you first. I love that.
Too much.
Well, listen, Laura, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
We could have spoken
it all afternoon.
Oh, no.
Thank you for coming in to do this. Keep going with Bible 22. Keep being imaginative with it. And keep spreading the word about it, because I think that's just what we want to do, is just want to get the idea out there. Actually, not so that people use the app, but so that people engage with what the Bible's saying.
Yeah.
That's the important thing underneath all of that. And I hope all goes well. In 2020, who knows what you'll be doing, addressing the UN.
Exactly.
Whatever's next.
That was my interview with Less Waste Laura, also known as Laura Young. So thanks very much to Laura. You can catch up with her via Tearfund, or we'll put some information in the show notes so you can find out a little bit more about her. Do keep listening to The Outspoken Bible. We are producing podcasts throughout the year in 2020 in connection with Bible 2020 app. Please do rate, review, like, share the podcast amongst friends, because we really want this to be a helpful resource for people. Not only those who are using the app, but actually for those who want to get to know a bit more about the Bible. Join me next time when I'll be in conversation with someone else.